The Web's Michael Smith. It's episode 167 of the Canes Cast. And you know what?
What's that?
There's going to be some NHL tonight. Just let that wash over you. The NHL and ESPN have agreed to terms where the National Hockey League will be broadcast again on the worldwide leader. Joining us on the episode today, the incomparable Linda Cohn. Cannot wait to talk to her about the Canes, the season, and more importantly, what the NHL being back on ESPN can do for everybody who's out there. It's going to be amazing, Michael. I can't wait. It brings back, I don't want to think I'm that old, but it brings back so many good memories of, you know, watching NHL tonight, watching big games on ESPN, and that's all going to come back, and I think it's a win-win for the league. So we'll get into that coming up here on episode 167, and we'll get into the Canes. We'll get your calls as well. A few things that are out there. Like, I don't know, as we know that this podcast, Canes Cast, is sponsored.
Hey, Mike and Michael. It's Nick from Ohio again. I wanted to do something that I thought I heard you guys mention, but no one has done it just yet, so I think I'll take the cake on this one and be the first. But this podcast is brought to you by our good friends at R&D Brewing and at just 97 calories. And 2.4 carbs. It is a light, crispy lager that is crushable, and that's the one and only Storm Brew sponsoring this wonderful podcast. Just wanted to put my own spin on it and see how I did. What do you guys think?
Well, I think you crushed it, Nick from Ohio. Well done.
You crushed it like a Storm Brew.
Oh, you're spiking. Let's get some applause for that.
I was spiking for you with my claps. Yeah.
Well done, Nick. Yeah, we mentioned
Nick took the sponsorship and spiked it.
We mentioned a few episodes back. If you want to record a Storm Brew ad for us, sure, we'll mix it up on the podcast and play it. I think Nick hit all the highlights there. The calories, the carbs, crushable, crispy.
Yep.
Well done, Nick. Thanks for sending that in. We'll get to some more of your voicemails later in the show. But first, this news broke while we were recording last week's podcast, that the NHL would be returning to ESPN, really the whole Disney portfolio. So you're going to see games on ABC, you're going to see games on ESPN, ESPN2, NHL.tv is going to be on ESPN Plus. So you're going to be able to access any NHL game, on ESPN Plus beginning next year. Hulu is in the mix. It's a huge deal for the NHL to be back on the worldwide leader in sports, because this channel is synonymous with sports. When you go to a bar and you're looking for sports, ESPN is on. So the fact that the NHL is going to be back on this network for the first time in almost 20 years is a huge deal. And who better to talk to about it than Linda Cohn? Well, we are thrilled to welcome in from ESPN, Linda Cohn, host of In the Crease on ESPN Plus. You've seen her on SportsCenter. You've probably heard her on the radio as well. Linda, welcome to Canes Cast. Thanks for joining us today.
Oh, it is my pleasure. Good to be with you.
We wanted to get you on the show, obviously, to talk about the big news of really the year, that NHL is returning to ESPN. How excited are you and the fellow puckheads at ESPN to see hockey back on the network?
Well, I feel, and just by the reaction that I've been getting from text messages and tweets that, congratulating me, and I wish I was in those meeting rooms. Maybe I would have known some more inside information before it actually became official. But I think I'm getting that reaction is because I've kept the light on, right? I feel like, you know, me and a couple other people here at the network have kept the light on, and I've helped hold the torch and lead the parade, and, you know, just have hope that hockey was going to come back, that the NHL was going to come back. I mean, especially because, you know, myself, Steve Levy, Barry Melrose, even a bit John Buccigross, we've all been around. We were around when ESPN had the NHL. So it's sort of like this core group, you know, it was like a very special day when it became official. I think, you know, for your listeners and everything, you know, especially your younger listeners who may not remember what the coverage is like. I mean, it helped, the NHL helped build ESPN2 at the time, because you could always go to not only ESPN, but ESPN2. It was like a nightly occasion to see one or two or perhaps three games a night daily on ESPN2.
Right.
And, you know, the other thing, I think it is a win-win, not only for the National Hockey League, but for ESPN, because ESPN and the people and the bosses that made this long commitment and put up a lot of money to bring the NHL back, they do the research, and they know that the NHL has seen the largest growth in fandom of the four major pro sports since 2005.
Yeah.
So, of course, they wanted to be a part of that. And what's great about, you know, ESPN, as you guys know, there are just so many levels to this coverage, whether it's, you know, ABC, ESPN, ESPN2, you know, the digital sports platform, the ESPN app, and, of course, ESPN Plus, which is already showing not only my show in the Crease Daily, which is a hockey highlight show, but also, you know, NHL games. It's already on board. So it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, and you mentioned keeping the light on. How hopeful were you and some of your colleagues that you mentioned that you would get the NHL back on the network one day? I imagine that was kind of one of those things you always just kind of silently hope for.
Well, I'll tell you, I had hope, and that fire burned brighter for me when Jimmy Pitaro came to ESPN and became our main man, our head boss, the guy who makes all these decisions and are in those meeting rooms with the Gary Bettmans and things like that. Because when Jimmy came to ESPN, I had a chat with him. And he made it clear to me, because he knew how much I was a part of the NHL and hockey and what it meant. We talked about hockey. He's a New York guy. And he, you know, Ranger fans growing up. And we talked about that. And he said, no, I love hockey so much. I grew up with it. And then when we had a town hall meeting, it was probably about a couple of years ago in Los Angeles, where I've been living for the last 2 years. And Jimmy was introducing himself to the people, fellow employees in L.A., of ESPN, and one of the first questions that was asked, and it was a great one by one of my colleagues, not on air, but someone in production, asked, of all the sports out there that ESPN does not have, which is top of your list that you would like to get now that you run the show here? He didn't even hesitate, Jimmy Pitaro, NHL. That's when I knew we were in business, and that was 2 years ago, and it takes time, and that's not why I felt so confident.
Linda, I hate using like buzzwords or what managers like to say, like out of the box thinking, but I need to say this. How is it with the relationship between the NHL and ESPN, how symbiotic it is? There's the word, so sorry to use it. But we're both sides, because I go back to, you know, NHL Tonight. It showed everything.
Yeah.
You got the highlights. And like you said, if you wanted to watch a game, it was on ESPN2. There was a chance, and it brought all of the game, all of the teams into households in America. So how great is it for both sides, where I think the NHL can get back to where it was but before that lockout, where it was growing? You know, there was that kind of excitement about it, because the NHL loved being on ESPN, and I know that there's so many folks there at ESPN who loved being a part of it and helped grow the game. It kind of is like you said, the NHL helped grow ESPN too. So how exciting is that, where you get to know that maybe you get to lift the NHL a little bit more too, like it was about 15 years ago?
I'm 110% confident that the league will be lifted now that ESPN, starting in October, is all in, and it's their product, and we'll be covering this in all ways. Because not only, you know, they're going to, of course, you know, turn back the clock a little and, you know, keep the theme music, which we've been running on In the Crease since it's just been established, In the Crease Show 2.5 years ago. But, yeah, that obviously is a no-brainer to keep that music, okay? But also ESPN is looking ahead, looking in the now. What can they do? And I always say, and I've always pushed this up, because you know this, guys, you've come in contact, you've talked with so many players, you know, especially even on Carolina, the Canes and those players and those personalities. Hockey players are funny. Hockey players have personalities. You just have to give them a stage and they will do so. And by the way, you know, I talk to a lot of players and I know this for a fact, you know, what the heck? They're sitting in their hotel rooms after games, before games, whatever. What are they doing? Usually only ESPN is on, right? That's what they get in their hotel rooms. And what are they seeing? They're seeing other superstar athletes in other professional sports being put on pedestals, putting on the stage, getting to show an entertainment value quality to them, seeing their other sports being displayed in such an incredible way with the coverage. And they're probably sitting, and I know this for a fact because they tell me, they're sitting and they're like, I don't get it, Linda. Why don't they pay attention to the NHL? Well, guess what? This is a game changer. Now, all in, like I said, when you make a financial commitment and a long-term commitment like ESPN has done and knows how popular the NHL fandom is and how it will only grow, guess what? Again, you're about to see something you've never seen before. And the other aspect I want to bring out here, you know, and for us purists, maybe it's taken us a little bit of time to realize that this is a good thing. But when this announcement was made and I saw my colleague Stephen A. Smith do a fun bit about hockey back on ESPN, and he did it on his Stephen A.'s World on ESPN Plus, the show he has, and it was hilarious. And it was like, let me tell you something. I don't care if Stephen A. is talking about hockey. That's a great thing. If he's using it as part of entertainment, that's a great thing because it gets people that really are locked into a guy like Stephen A. Smith who doesn't even know what a hockey puck is. Hey, you know what? It's worth a shot. Maybe it'll get some eyeballs to the screen. I think it's great. And that's another intangible that ESPN brings to this amazing sport.
I'm just going to throw this out there. In the crease tonight. I mean, we could have that. Put it on. You keep it on ESPN Plus, but also put it on ESPN 2, Linda. I mean, it just seems to be a natural
ESPN,
fit.
And ESPN and, you know, a big-time studio with a big-time pre, post-game, and intermission where there's really – I mean, where – and I mean, you know, I mean, I don't know anything. Nothing's been decided yet. But I, knowing ESPN, just my gut feeling, I mean, it would be like a beautiful studio just for hockey. Not something that just transforms to it, you know, when another sport isn't in business at the moment. You know, and that's what I know you're going to see because I know I sound like, an employee of ESPN because they pay my bills, right? But I'm just telling you, I lived it. I've been there almost 29 years, and I was there when we covered hockey, and you guys remember it. But I just think now with all the technology and the digital platforms and what's available and social media and, you know, and the betting aspect and the analytics and all of this stuff. I mean, we're going to have a lot of fun covering the sport.
Yeah. And the exposure is going to be pretty widespread too, given that you have games on ABC, you have games on ESPN. And one of the big parts of the deal too, I think, is that the fact that NHL TV is now just going to be on ESPN Plus. So if you want to see any NHL game, you can just fire up ESPN Plus and watch that game. That's got to be a pretty exciting part of the deal too, I imagine.
Oh, it is. And here's the deal. It's like, what's ESPN Plus? $5 a month? My God, you know, that's nothing. And by the way, you get all the other amazing content on ESPN Plus.
Right.
I mean, even from other sports and from journalists and from talented broadcasters and, you know, everything from, you know, I mean, I don't have to, you know, you all you have to do, all your listeners have to do is look it up, what's on ESPN Plus, and you can see if you're not on it already. So, yeah, I mean, can you imagine how great that is? I mean, to see every game on any on ESPN Plus. Now we cover maybe two or one a night right now. But, yeah, it's so easy. And that's the world we live in, like you pointed out, with technology. I mean, we're not sitting on our fannies on the couch, per se, you know, like we did in the old days and watching it on TV. You know, maybe I am. I don't know about you, but then I also can watch on my telephone, on my phone, on my iPhone, and it's great, you know. So, you know, I mean, I know, again, I sound like head cheerleader, but I'm really excited about what's to be. And by the way, it's coming up quick. We're 6 months away. I know we have this season to finish, and it's going to finish strong. And I can't wait to see who is crowned champion. And maybe it's the Carolina Hurricanes because they are officially a Stanley Cup contender. But the new regime, the new era back at ESPN is 6 months away. It starts in October.
Linda, there's two things I want to ask you. First, let me get the one question and kind of get it out of the way, because I'm sure you heard it forever from every hockey fan. ESPN turned its back on hockey when they lost the rights all those years ago. I know that that's the perception, but was there kind of a feeling, like you said, it went from there was all this hockey to we were getting maybe two or three game highlights a night. Was there that kind of feeling? Not that there was an edict, but it's not your property anymore. So like in any business, you're going to give more attention to the things that you do cover or that you do have the rights to.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to say that the ESPN turned their back on hockey. I don't think that's true, but, you know, they didn't have room for it as they used to. And it's business. I mean, it's simple as that. If you were in their shoes, you would do the same. If, let's say, you know, I'm just throwing out an example, like the UFC, right? ESPN yeah. helped build UFC to what it is, okay? So suddenly it was, and I remember when NASCAR was on ESPN.
Yep.
That's a perfect example. When NASCAR was on ESPN, we had NASCAR Tonight. We had all of these different things. Then suddenly NASCAR says, you know what? We're leaving ESPN. We're going somewhere else. Well, same kind of thing. It was nothing against hockey.
Yep.
It was nothing against the NHL. It was any sport. And you're just doing business. And, you know, that's why, you know, the core group, we kept the light on. So I looked at it every time I was hosting SportsCenter. I made a big deal about hockey. I threw in hockey even when I was doing another sports highlight. I made it clear that, you know, I was all in and all that, and I wasn't alone like that. And, you know, you kid about it, but, you know, there will always be critics and haters out there. And, let's just hope that they see the light and realize, let's appreciate the now and the future, what's going to happen with the NHL back on ESPN. You know, don't look at the in-between,
yeah.
You know, be smarter.
Well, amen to that, which leads me to, being the big hockey fan that you are and how you cover it and you play it, what do you love about the game today?
Oh, I love these talented players. First of all, I'm getting a kick out of these realigned divisions, by the way.
Yeah.
I think we have some incredible races. I don't have to tell you guys what's going on with Carolina and the best race right now in the Central Division. You know, what you guys have to deal with, Florida, obviously, and Tampa. But, you know, I love this young talent. I love these personalities are ready to burst once, you know, going to ESPN, and they will be showcased. You better believe it. But not only that, in this strange COVID year, which, you know, the 56-game season and all that, I had no problem with that. I had no problem with these realigned divisions. Players love not traveling so much. They actually love these two-game series where they don't have to get on a plane after a game and go somewhere. You know, they get more rest. I think that's fantastic. But what I love is you have this taxi squad, right? So when some players are injured, have these COVID protocols just in case. I mean, look at this guy for the Bruins, this netminder yesterday. Nobody ever heard of him. Dan Vladar comes in, first career NHL start, makes the save of the year, the sixth save that he made against the Penguins. I mean, you just never know. Like, fans have to, like, check the roster and, like, wait, who's that guy that scored for us? I love it. That's how deep the talent pool is, and now we're getting to find out.
Yeah, and you mentioned the Central Division. It kind of gives me old Southeast Division vibes with the rivalries renewed with Tampa Bay and Florida here with Carolina. I do want to ask you about the Hurricanes before we let you go and just your impressions of this team so far this season, because I think it is maybe surprising some people. It isn't surprising us here in Raleigh, because we, I think, had an idea of what this team is capable of. But from afar, from Los Angeles, what are your impressions of the Hurricanes so far this season?
Well, you know, they've been definitely trending upward. So I've been with you. It's not a shock to me.
Right.
Another thing is they're a reflection of their head coach, Rod Brind'Amour, who is definitely a Jack Adams finalist in my mind, along with Barry Trotz. And I think it's going to be a close race between those two, what he has done with this team. And, you know, I mean, after Svechnikov and Aho got off to slow starts. Now, good to see Sebastian Aho shooting the puck more. Things are making things happen, and that's what we expect of him. You're getting the goaltending. I mean, I think I could be in net and, you know, come up with 25 saves a night and maybe only allow two goals, because that's how great those guys on the back line are playing and the 5-on-5 hockey are playing. And I think that's really the secret, and that's in the hard work ethic, and that is a reflection of Rod Brind'Amour. I don't have to tell you guys that, and I think don't be surprised. I mean, that's why I called them earlier in our conversation. They are truly, realistically, Stanley Cup contenders. All they have to do is get in the postseason, and they will. They'll lock up a playoff berth here. I know we have a you know, more than a handful of games left here of this 56 game, like 27 games, 26 games left. Nobody's going to want to face Carolina. My goodness, because they're built for playoff hockey.
Yeah, and we can add you to the taxi squad, yeah, Linda, if you'd like.
I mean, we'll call Don Waddell right now. I mean, I'm sure we can hammer out a contract by the end of this conversation.
Well, let me tell you something. That would be the only thing that will make me move out of beautiful, sunny California, almost to Raleigh.
Linda, there is one thing I wanted to ask you, because it goes back to the This Is SportsCenter commercials that we all love.
I love
the one where you're in the goalie equipment. And for people who don't know, Linda is a hell of a goalie, by the way.
Thank you.
And everybody's walking by, and they're doing the, you know, tapping the goalie pads. Was that idea pitched to you, or did you pitch that idea for a This Is SportsCenter commercial?
Well, I just said, you know, and thank you for those kind words. I just wanted people to know that, and that was back in the day, you know, that I'm not just someone that loves sports. I'm obsessed, and I'm a hockey fan. And, oh, by the way, I'm a goalie. I'm nuts. You know, I started playing this position when I was 13, you know, and I was playing with boys all my life until I got to college, and I only picked this college besides it had a good communication studies program and, you know, Oswego State in New York, but it had a girls hockey team. And I'm like, okay, that's it. Done. Game changer. But, you know, those are the kind of things I did kind of mention. I go, let's do this with goalie pads. And the funny story, speaking of goalies and whether they should wear goalie pads in SportsCenter commercials, I did several with the great Henrik Lundqvist, who we hopefully is a, you know, well, we wish him a happy and healthy recovery from his heart surgery. But when he was a Ranger, I did a bunch of commercials with him. And I remember when he showed up for his first This Is SportsCenter commercial, and he brought all of these amazing suits. Like, you know, he's the, you know, best looking, best dressed guy, right, in the National Hockey League.
Don't remind us, Linda. One man should not possess all that talent that he has. So,
right. So anyway, he brings like all of these amazing suits, like any man would die for, A, to fit into them, and B, you know, just to wear them, right? And right. So then they tell him, "Did you happen to bring your goalie equipment? Because that's what you're going to wear in these This Is SportsCenter commercials." So thank goodness he did bring the goalie equipment and the Ranger jersey at the time. So that was a funny little side note there. But those commercials are great. And these players, as I told you about their personalities coming out, we did a bunch with them, obviously, you know, for years and years. I even went go way back and did some with Mike Richter, for goodness sake.
Yep.
So the point is that they'll love that. And you better believe they'll be involved in these This Is SportsCenter commercials. And everybody loves those commercials.
Well, Linda, one, we're excited that the NHL is coming back to ESPN. It's basically already there. ESPN Plus, you can watch In the Crease with Linda Cohn. Linda, a follow-up question, though, sort of along the lines of the NHL and things getting more attention. How happy are you to see that the women's game has grown so much in the last 10 years, to see that there is a place for women to go play hockey professionally? I know there's still some hurdles, but it appears that the game has never been better on the women's side with the talent level that's there, and there seems to be a viable option to continue to go play in the programs across the country that are giving women the chance and young girls the chance to play the game.
Oh, absolutely. My goodness. It starts at the very lower level, these little leagues in the neighborhood rinks, where people live in communities, to allow girls to play at any age, to play with boys. When I started, I had to play with boys that were 5-4 years younger than me, because they didn't let me play with boys that were my age, because they didn't have any girls leagues. Okay. So now you have this situation, and it starts there. And now when we look at the NWHL, which everyone should root for, everyone should try to follow. It's a small league, but these are the best of the best. And I root for them. I think I have a cardboard cutout with the Metropolitan River. I just drew a blank with the Metropolitan River tier. I can't say their name, though. That's really bizarre because I never had to say them. But anyway, the point is this. It's fantastic. I guess I was born too long, early. I wish I was, you know, born now or born 20 years ago, because anyone who has daughters or any young women who are listening who love the game, it's amazing. At any time, in any rink, you can get, you know, hockey skates and get yourself fitted and play. And so, but to see the professionals out there and to see Olympic hockey and how far the USA program has come in women's hockey, so proud of these ladies. I'm so proud of these women. And it's definitely trending upwards. So, yes, it's very satisfying to see this, definitely.
Linda, thank you so much. We can't wait. As you mentioned, we're all excited to see the completion of this season for the Carolina Hurricanes. And you heard it here first. Linda Cohen predicted the Carolina Hurricanes to win the Stanley Cup. That's on record now, Linda. You can't take it back.
Mark it down.
Mark it down.
Stanley Cup contenders. Stanley Cup contenders.
But
you got to get by the Lightning first and Florida, and then you're good.
But we can't
wait. That's what's so great. I mean, that's what's so great about these realigned divisions, like the old days. Because you've got to get out of your division.
Right.
I know. I can't wait. It's going to be like the old Adams and the old Patrick. You got to face them again once you get through the regular season.
Exactly.
It's going to be awesome. And I know that I speak for everybody. 6 months from now, when ESPN rolls out the full coverage of hockey, we can't wait for it. Because it's just going to elevate the game and elevate everybody. And that means we get to see more Linda Cohen talking hockey. And that's always a good thing. Linda, thank you so much for taking the time.
Thanks for having me, and I appreciate the kind words. Have a good one, guys. Go Canes!
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, our thanks to Linda Cohen for taking time out of her Wednesday in sunny Los Angeles, California, to talk with us here on CanesCast. I very much enjoyed that conversation with Linda, and I can't wait to see hockey back on ESPN. We're only about 6 months away from it.
Yeah, cannot wait. And again, I think that... And I hated to be that guy because I don't know about you, Michael, but when you sit into those meetings where you know, oh boy, we're going to get a whole bunch of buzzwords, but it really is symbiotic because I think the height of the NHL really came with ESPN2 giving it that platform. And ESPN had NHL Tonight that was on basically every night. You had the highlights. You got caught up on every team. You knew what was going on. I just think that this is a win-win for the league and for ESPN because it's going to bring hockey fans back to those platforms that maybe have gone away. And I wasn't trying to, you know, be sneaky there with Linda going, oh, well, hey, tell us what really happened when the league went away. She's 100% right. Sometimes, folks, I hate to do this. There's no secret memos that get handed out. It becomes business. So... ESPN looked at it as, well, we don't have hockey, but now we have the UFC, so let's promote the UFC, because if everybody likes the UFC, it's better for us. Or NASCAR, it's the same thing. It becomes business decisions. It's not, oh, we're not covering that. No, when there was a Stanley Cup, it was covered. There are things that are there, but now you get more exposure to it, and I think the plus is what you said on ESPN Plus.
Yeah.
With Linda Cohen, what, $5 a month, you'll have access to all of the games.
Yeah, that's way cheaper than NHL.tv is. And then if you bundle it with Disney Plus and Hulu, it's, what, $12 or $13 a month? Like, it's a great deal. And, I mean, I don't mean to sound like a Disney shill. They have plenty of money.
Are you just trying to get on The Mandalorian?
Well, maybe. Okay. Lucasfilm, if you're listening. Really, either of us, I think, would love to be on The Mandalorian.
Sure.
Jon Favreau. Dave Filoni, give us a call.
Yeah.
If you want to join the podcast, you know, we're big Disney fans.
Yeah.
Big Star Wars fans.
I'm also built like Jon Favreau, so, you know, whatever. I'll play whatever role you need.
But the, you know, one of the important parts, too, to consider with this new television agreement that begins in the 21-22 season is the fact that this is only really half of what's to come. The league hasn't announced their... secondary media partner just yet. Maybe that's NBC, maybe that's Fox, but when you look at the ESPN agreement, you have for the next 7 Stanley Cup final series on ABC, you have one of the conference finals on ABC and ESPN, you have half of the Stanley Cup playoffs on ABC and ESPN, you have 25 regular season games on ABC and ESPN+, of course, all that you're going to find on ESPN+, and Hulu as well. But then there's also more regular season games, theoretically, that you're going to see on another network. You're going to see the other half of the Stanley Cup playoffs on another network and the other conference final, and then the 3 other Stanley Cup finals on another network. So it's a bigger picture that the league is building toward. And all that they've worked with NBC through all these years to really build up the product. And they're going to cash in big here in the next few months.
Well, the other part of that, like you mentioned, is there's going to be more exposure because there is another platform that it's going to go to.
Right.
Be it NBC, be it Fox, be it somebody else who might have a hand in the game. to make this happen. You know, we're not 100% sure who that partner is going to be, but that's just a plus. And then the other side of it, more cash for the league.
Yeah.
And that is something, considering what's gone on with the pandemic, and we keep hearing about the flat cap and what's going to happen here, this is going to be an influx of cash for owners, for teams to, you know, keep players, re-sign players. Maybe the cap goes up, or you know, maybe it gives teams that are looking to throw some more money into their facilities, they'll be able to do that. I think that's a plus. And I like it because I do enjoy the NBA model of the NBA on TNT and the NBA on ESPN.
Yeah.
You can have, it's, you know, the same kind of genre, if you will. Sorry.
Hi.
Genres.
Same thing. But it's ice cream, but it's more than just one scoop. You can
different flavors.
Yeah, you can pick what you like, and ESPN is going to probably handle the property a little bit differently than where the other half goes to. And I can't wait to see where it goes because it's good for the league. It's more exposure for this great game.
Yeah, and she mentioned Stephen A. Smith and the video that he put out, yep. And it was hilarious. You know, he kind of came by his hockey fandom honestly, and it's. If you even want to call it fandom, because he's new to the game. But having the NHL on ESPN and a part of those properties is only going to be a good thing, because you're going to get folks like Stephen A. Smith and a bunch of their other talent, not just John Butchergross or Linda Cohn or Barry Melrose or Steve Levy, talking about hockey. It's going to be discussed, I think, more at large on the network. I'm really excited about it. I mean, from just the simple nostalgia aspect of it too, you know, hearing that theme music, which, you know, don't come after us, ESPN. We're just using it for this episode. We'll go back
okay
to
with it.
We'll go back to take
don't,
five next.
Don't draw
episode.
Attention to it. Don't draw attention to it. Let's just keep going.
You heard nothing. These are not the theme.
This is
music.
Not the theme music you were looking for.
Exactly. See, Jon Favreau, Dave Filoni,
just fits wink, right wink. Into the conversation. By the way, the passion that you hear in Linda Cohen's voice.
Oh, I know.
How excited she is. And as you mentioned, you know, carrying the torch, keeping the light on for hockey to come back.
Yep.
You know, and it the faces of it, Linda and John Butchergross and Steve Levy and Barry Melrose, but then there are countless people behind the scenes as well at ESPN who are hoping for this. And I can promise you they're gonna deliver on the product. And I think it's gonna be just a win-win for the fans and for the league, and let me throw another win in there for ESPN.
Yeah. And
I think for the other network who whatever jumps in, or the other entity that jumps in and gets the other part of this.
For sure. You know, whether it's NBC and USA Network, theoretically, because NBCSN is going away, or whether it's Big Fox, the network. And speaking of Fox and speaking of television, there's some news on the Fox side of it, right, Scott? Yeah.
Coming up on the end of the month of March, Fox Sports, some regionals will no longer be Fox Sports, will be Bally Sports, and still going to be the same channel. It's the same number on DirecTV, and where you're watching it now, like the channels aren't jumping it, but it'll be a different look. There'll be different graphics. There will be different names, of course, because it goes from Fox Sports Carolinas to it'll be Bally Sports South or Bally Sports Southeast, and we're excited about it. And you'll get a new look to the coverage of the games as well, from graphics and packages and some things that come with it. I think the fans are going to be excited for it. I know that you get used to something and you like it, but at the same time, I think change is good. You can bring in something new. I've gotten a little bit of an advanced look, and there's only so much that I can say because A, what I've seen, and then B, what I'm allowed to say. But I really think that the fans are going to like what they're going to see coming up, and nothing else changes.
And that's what we call in the business a tease.
Exactly, but nothing else changes.
Right, and I think that's the important part to underscore here is that wherever you've been watching the games, the Hurricanes games on this season or previous seasons, whenever, that's not going to change. The only thing that's going to change is the name of the network that they're on and then the look of everything that's on that network. Everything else is exactly the same thing. You're still there. Tripp's still there. Abby and Shane still on the pregame show. Nothing else is changing. It's just the name of the channel is going to be different.
Honestly, in the graphics and the logo.
Yeah,
the logo, that's it.
Logo's a nice red, nice shade of red.
But the people who bring you the game, the people behind the scenes who don't get enough attention, our producer Jim Malia, who is, for my money, and I know I work with him and people say this a lot, but he is the best regional producer in the business. He could be a national producer. He could be the national guy producing hockey. That's just how good he is and his hand on the game.
Hopefully ESPN's not listening to this.
Well, we'll loan him out. He's just got to stay here. Sorry, Jim. Or I get 5% of whatever he makes.
You're his agent now.
Our director is Paul Hemming, who has directed Hockey Night in Canada and Grey Cups and, I mean, countless shows on national Canadian television. And he's a guy doing our games now, so the director. So when you see the pictures and the cameras moving around and in this incredibly difficult year because of the pandemic, because we're not on the road, and our producer and our director and our graphics, we're all here. And you go back and see the broadcast, that doesn't change. So the way that you look at the game, the way that you hear it, it'll be the exact same, just the graphics and the signage is going
to
change.
And Jim Malia is changing his name to Jim Balia. It's part of the contract.
I'm gonna. If we had a boo,
well, we have something that I think works well enough.
Was
that good? Yeah.
That's okay. I never wanted to hear that again. Of all of the sound effects we had, that was the most appropriate thing for what you just did.
Or that too.
I think that's what you sent the audience to.
Well, I tried. And Paul Hemming also has a podcast of his own.
Yes, he does. Director,
Inside the Truck. Mm-hmm. You want to get an Inside the Truck perspective at what goes into sports production.
And just if you tune in, he speaks Canadian. So that's going to be a little different for some people.
Yes.
It's very polite.
Very polite and a little bit of an accent.
Yeah, and you can't confront him or else he will get frightened and run away, as most Canadians who don't play hockey do. Although Paul does play hockey.
Take care, guy.
All right, guy.
Great moments on the road. Sorry, that was a really inside reference there. I don't know if we've ever explained that.
No, we haven't explained that.
Well, we might as well.
Well, we've got to get into the Canes, who are on an 8-game winning streak.
Yeah.
All right, so take care, guy. If anybody's ever watched South Park, you understand that Canadians on that animated program get made a little bit fun of. It's all in good fun, though.
Everything's very exaggerated.
Exactly. Yeah. And so one of the things that they like to say that Canadians will do when they speak to each other is they'll call each other either buddy, friend, or guy. And there are certain episodes where when the Canadians are involved, you'll hear, all right, take care, guy. And that's just how it goes. So this is 3 seasons ago.
Oh, I don't know. They all blend together.
They do blend together. Although I do know we were walking to Meat and Bread for lunch.
In Calgary, yes.
In Calgary.
So maybe 2 seasons ago? 3? I don't know.
At this point, whatever. Inconsequential.
Yeah.
So 2 Canadian gentlemen are walking in front of us, and they're having a conversation, and we can somewhat hear it, but we're not really paying attention. Michael and I are talking. Well, then they stop in front of us, and the one turns to go into his building, and he starts walking away, and the one who's left on the sidewalk in front of me and Michael goes, well, take care, guy. And I immediately just lose it.
We're like, no way that just happened.
It did.
It did.
Because I even asked you, I'm like, did that just happen? And you started laughing at me laughing because that just happened.
Yep. So now you know the reference.
Take care, guy.
Yeah. Great moments in Canadian history.
In Canadian on the road history.
All right. Well,
I almost turned around and said, all right, buddy. But I did not.
Yeah, well, we enjoyed a good lunch after that.
And yes, we did.
Maybe they did as well.
And I still laugh all these years later.
Yeah, it's a great line. So let's talk about the Canes.
Yes, please.
Because they've played 3 games since we last talked to you on March 10th. Extending, at that point, their winning streak was at 6 games. With a second win over Nashville, that became 7. And then a win in Detroit, that became 8. And then the quest for 9 to match a franchise best that had been accomplished 3 times, twice in the 05-06 season, mm-hmm. And once in 08-09. Those hopes were dashed in a 4-2 loss to the Red Wings on Tuesday night. But the Hurricanes still sitting really near the top of the league standings, near the top of the Central Division standings at 27-1 with 41 points through 28 games. That is still pretty good.
Yeah, that's, for me, if you told me that the Canes would be in this position right now in this season with this adversity, with a COVID stop on the season for the Hurricanes, and now factor into Vincent Trocheck is hurt, you're still without Peter Mrazek, you haven't had Teuvo Teravainen for five games now that he has missed with a concussion. Jake Gardner has an injury issue. I know he's placed on the taxi squad, and there's a lot to get in and out on that. But we're talking about four regulars to this team. So a fifth of the Carolina Hurricanes regulars that they were counting on. And this team goes on a winning streak after a three-game losing streak, mind you.
Yeah.
Albeit that three-game losing streak was to the Tampa Bay Lightning, who are pretty darn good at playing hockey.
Probably the best team in the league.
I would not give too many arguments against that.
Yeah.
But then they go on this eight-game winning streak. It snapped to Detroit. And I know that people are going to look at it and say, oh, Detroit, you know, how do you lose to that team, a team that only had eight wins on the season going into the game? Because they're paid professionals. And their goaltender on Tuesday night, Jonathan Bernier, in the two wins that Detroit has against the Carolina Hurricanes this year, Bernier's been outstanding, and he was outstanding again on Tuesday night.
He was good on Sunday, too. I mean, the Hurricanes won that game 2-1. Could have been a much bigger gap, but it wasn't, because Bernier's been really good this season for Detroit. He's really kept them in a lot of games that maybe they shouldn't have otherwise been in. And when you look at their record, nine wins, as you said,
yep,
five of them have come against Carolina, Florida, and Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
The three top teams in the Central, three of the best teams in the league. It just happens.
Yeah.
That's just the way the NHL works. And I go back to the question we got before the season of, will the Hurricanes sweep any of their eight-game series? And we wanted to say yes. I don't think either of us did.
Yeah, we didn't.
Because it's just so hard in the NHL to win, especially when you play these two-game series that are separated by, you know, sometimes weeks and months.
Yep.
It's kind of different when you're playing a seven-game playoff series and momentum from one game to the next. And sure, you can sweep four games and move on. But you're talking about winning eight out of eight games over the course of a four-month season. It's really difficult, even against a team that only has nine wins.
All right. Let me kind of echo the sentiments of the head coach, Rod Brind'Amour, when he's talked about this team. And, you know, when it had been a long time since we've heard a post game after a loss. Some things in this world are coach speak, and then Rod Brind'Amour talks in its honesty. And if you watch the games, when he's asked about his team after the game, he is 100% accurate when he goes, the effort was there. And it was. The effort was there. I don't look at this Canes team, you know, on a loss or in a win or when there's a lull and be like, oh, well, there's a lack of effort. What happens is this team will get a little bit loose at times. They'll try to, and you've heard it before, get a little too fancy with some passes or with their play. They go a little bit more east-west instead of north-south and playing a direct game and playing a simple game that they talk about. I think really that's kind of what happened that snapped the win streak, that the Canes came a little bit out of their game. It's not an effort situation. It's maybe getting a little bit loose with the play. You give up two power play goals after you scored 2 minutes and 21 seconds in on the power play for Nino Niederreiter, his 13th of the season. But those two Adam Ernie power play goals kind of tilted the game a little bit, kind of put it off kilter, and then you have to go chase the game.
Yeah, that's the big one. I mean, it's when you give up multiple power play goals in a game, whether you scored on the power play or not, it's going to be tough to overcome. And when you look at the Hurricanes eight-game winning streak in four of the games, they were able to score multiple power play goals. They did. They scored two goals three times and three goals one time. And in each of those games, whether the opponent got one on their power play or not, that's just tough to overcome, because 5-on-5 today in this league, even between two teams like Carolina and Detroit, who are sort of at opposite ends of the standings, 5-on-5 play is still really tight because everyone's kind of doing the same thing. Special teams is a difference maker on a lot of nights, and it was quite often in the Hurricanes' eight-game winning streak, and it was again on Tuesday night in Detroit. The Hurricanes score on the power play to open up the scoring in the game, But then Detroit answers back with two power play goals, and that just puts Carolina in a tough position, really, for the last 40 minutes of the game.
Yeah, and they get the game-tying goal from Sebastian Aho on an incredible feed from Marty Natchez. Goes cross ice. Aho goes bar down.
That it's so much fun to watch Marty Natchez play hockey. It's and you know, we talked to him when I guess that was the last episode of the podcast we had him on. And you know, the confidence that he is playing with, and I think he's starting to realize, like you've heard Rod Brind'Amour mention before about Andrei Svechnikov. The more games that he plays in this league, the more confidence he has to be able to do some of the stuff that he's doing.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, I can do this at this level. And I was thinking last night that it's going to be a lot of fun to watch him in the Olympics on the big ice with the Czechs, because he's going to have a lot of room to work his magic.
Well, we asked him about it last week, about overtime, 3-on-3, when there's more ice for him. And when he comes wheeling with the puck, he backs people off with his speed, and that's just going to continue the more he realizes that he can push the envelope and get the defender back on his heels. That's going to create more space for him and more room to make plays. And like the passes that we've seen him, you know, shovel to Sebastian Aho, they're off the charts good. And I love that. I'm glad you bring up that comment that Rod Brind'Amour's had for Andrei Svechnikov. It's always the when he learns he can do this, when he knows he can do this, it's just going to get even better, and that's the situation. So, overall, to sum up the 8-game win streak, this team beat the Florida Panthers 3 times.
Yeah.
I know that there was a little bit of overtime, you know, cashed in there.
Yeah,
They took care of the Predators 3 times in Detroit twice. And for me, you beat these teams, especially if you see somebody 3 times in 5 games or you're playing somebody back-to-back. We chronicled this, like, in January. Nobody was winning the second game after winning the first game of these first back-to-backs.
And there it happens again last night.
It's hard to do.
Yeah.
And again, the other team gets paid to play. And they have pride. There's talent. And I know people can look at the records. I'm not making excuses here. I think this is more of a positive for the league and a defense for the league of an excuse. The talent gap between teams is not as huge as it used to be. It used to be brutal. Like the top teams were so much better than the bottom teams. Now it's just how you play and how you execute. Everybody has some talent. Now the Canes have more talent than Detroit.
Yes.
But if you're a little off or if you're chasing the game because you're behind on the scoreboard, teams know how to lock other teams down now, as Michael just said, and that's why you are the Web's Michael Smith, a gem to all on the internet.
Thank you.
That they just will take away everything you want to do 5-on-5. That's how this game is played. It's become, I don't know if this is necessarily for the better, but it's become a special teams league where if you win the special teams game, 9 out of 10 games, you're winning that game.
Yeah, and that's why you see Rod Brind'Amour so animated on the bench a lot over certain calls because special teams is that much of a deciding factor in games. So that's why you know, sometimes you see him just, you know, losing his mind over certain calls because he's aware of just how razor thin that margin is in this league today. And a power play here or a power play there can make all the difference. But that's what happened for Detroit last night. It was just one of those nights for the Hurricanes where Bernier had all the answers, really. You know, after Sebastian Aho was able to tie the game, the Hurricanes had looks. Dougie Hamilton had 11 shots.
11 shots on
career goal. High for him. But Bernier was just able to hold the fort and turn aside all the good looks that the Hurricanes did have, because when you look at shots and you look at chances, they were there. It didn't fall the Hurricanes' way.
The save of the game is where Bernier dives back into the crease and catches the puck with his blocker hand because he loses the stick as Jordan Martinook is shoveling at it. And I think Jesper Fast had a whack, and the puck had popped free, and Bernier was on his left post and has to dive back and somehow makes the save.
Yeah, and then,
that's the save of the game.
Yeah, aside from Brock McGinn's knee save.
Yeah.
Which was, you know, one to remember, but ultimately didn't make a difference in the game. But
it didn't change the result, but it gave the Canes an opportunity to stay within a goal.
Yeah.
And, you know, a post here and a few shots that Bernier is able to get to from Dougie Hamilton, 11 of them.
A few, yeah.
But overall, you look at where this team is at. I like where they're at. We're at the halfway point of the season,
right,
Michael. We can run down checklists. If it's been a next man up, it's usually been answered with a resounding, I'm ready to go, from Steven Lorenz to Morgan Geeky to Jake Bean to Alex Nedeljkovic, who, you know, I know that the Canes have gotten into a good rhythm with the goaltending rotation of James Reimer and Alex Nedeljkovic, but I think that we're seeing that number 39 can play at this level and play at a high level in the National Hockey League.
Yeah, the more he plays, the more comfortable he gets. He's 5-1 in his last six starts. It's a 1.49 goals against average and a .950 save percentage. Yeah.
Those are tops.
Those are pretty good numbers.
And since February 18th, those are the best numbers in the National Hockey League.
So he's, I think, really starting to establish his game at this level. And it kind of makes sense, right, that he... That again, when you look at a lot of these guys and the starts maybe to their seasons, again, Alex Nedeljkovic had not played a competitive hockey game in almost a calendar year.
Yep.
You know, it had been March 2020 when he was last playing for the Charlotte Checkers. That's a long time to
if
to
you
not
remember,
play
he was the goalie.
Or for the Hurricanes, I guess.
In Pittsburgh even, for the Morgan Geeky coming out party, which by the way, Morgan Geeky likes to make debuts.
He likes March.
Yeah, his NHL debut in Pittsburgh, 2 goals. His PNC Arena debut, 2 goals.
We need to think of some more debuts he can have. Some
he had a playoff debut already.
His 4-game series against Columbus debut.
That's coming up next.
This Thursday. You know.
Hope you like the Columbus Blue Jackets because we're going to see him a lot.
Just tossing that out there.
4 games in a row.
Before we get to some voicemails, because we have a few, since we are at the halfway point of the season, who would you mark as your MVP for the first half?
Vincent Trocheck.
Yeah, that's a good one. I would, if I didn't say that, I might say Nino Niederreiter or perhaps even Brett Pesce.
I was going to say, why don't we do this? Submit our three finalists for the MVP for the Canes at the midway point.
Yeah, because... Or, you do different categories, most improved, whatever.
Sure.
But top three?
Top three.
Yeah, Vincent Trocheck, Nino Niederreiter, and Brett Pesce.
As much as I want to put Nino Niederreiter in there, I will swap Niederreiter out with Sebastian Aho, and I will go Trocheck, Aho, and Pesce.
I think I'm gonna amend mine as well. Niederreiter comes out. Sorry, Nino.
Wow.
You're right on the precipice there. I like having a defenseman in my top three, and I think Brett Pesce's been probably the most consistent defenseman for the Hurricanes thus far, which is good, you know, a good sign coming off his shoulder surgery. Jordan Staal. Jordan Staal's in my top three. That's the thing. There's so many players who you could make an argument to put in the top three, and I don't want to leave the captain out of that because I think he's a massive part of what the Hurricanes have been able to accomplish through 28 games.
Okay, do you want to know what this has just proven? How much we take for granted Jordan Staal.
Yeah. And I
Because now, if I can do this over again, my MVP is Jordan Staal.
Yeah. And the depth, too, that this team has. And the secondary scoring that's coming through, you know, between Jordan Staal, you know, Niederreiter, you know, that was a key piece to get going heading into the season. Vincent Trocheck kind of rediscovering the form he had a couple years ago in Florida. Yep. And part of the reason, you know, he did attribute that to was being healthy. Hopefully this injury doesn't keep him out too long because you want to see him get back to that level that he was playing at.
Yeah, and that, I think, is what everybody's going to have an eye on, which is how quick does Vincent Trocheck come back? How good will he be when he comes back? Will he be up to speed? Same thing with Teuvo Teravainen. Think about this. The Canes have really played the majority of this season without Teuvo Teravainen.
Yeah.
You know, he had to miss time due to the COVID protocol, and now he's missed time with a concussion. So,
and it was tough to see him go out with a concussion because his game was kind of...
He was starting to come back.
Yeah, exactly.
Starting around into form. So, all right, top four.
Okay, top four.
It's Jordan Staal.
So then Nino makes it into my top four, I think.
Jordan Staal, Vincent Trocheck, Brett Pesce, and Sebastian Aho for me.
Yeah, again, on my list, you know, Aho isn't even a part of that. Andrei Svechnikov, this team is getting contributions from a lot of different levels, and that's a great sign.
So
and we didn't even toss, you know, a guy like Alex Nedeljkovic into there. Granted, he hasn't been a part of the larger picture of the 28 games, kind of a smaller picture. But recently, you know, he's certainly been a big part of the team's success.
If here's the no-brainer comment of the Canes cast today, if he continues to play like this, I believe he has more than a strong enough case to be the MVP of the team, the way that he's playing in the Nets. But you know, the Canes, what I love about this team, and I've been asked about it before, they play the same no matter who the goalie is. You know, in years past, Michael, we've watched and you knew the team. If somebody else was in the Nets, you knew they were going to play a little bit different. Now, they play the exact same no matter who the goaltender is. And that goes back to Rod Brind'Amour. Let me parrot something that the head coach has said several times when people ask, why is this team different? What's different this year? Well, we have more skill. And if you look at that, you know, why did you win in the shootout? We have more skill. And that's a huge part of this league. You add skilled players who play hard every night, you get to a record where you are 27-1 at the halfway point of a 56-game schedule. So that's the simple answer right there.
Yeah, that is a good answer.
And I think that we should spend more time on, we were talking about the MVP, and you have to bring up Jordan Staal, that we take him for granted. I've tried to say this for years. He does all of these things that you never notice because they don't really show up on a stat sheet.
But this year he is showing up on the stat
sheet. And I think that's why, oh, where's this from? And I think the only difference is, you know, the puck that was going an inch to the left is now going an inch to the right. The puck is deflecting in off of him because of the defensemen who are getting the puck through from the point on the power play or when he gets in front. It's going off of him and getting into the net. He's getting into position to score. He's getting passes from Andrei Svechnikov or from Marty Nations or from whoever, or he's setting them up. And now they're either he's finishing them or the passes that he's setting up are being finished by his teammates. But his work in the faceoff circle, just as good, if not better than it's ever been.
Yeoman-like.
And you talk to anybody who plays against him, and you say, well, what's your thoughts on Jordan Staal? He's a horse. He's a powerful man. He is so tough to play against.
The big fella.
The big fella. The big guy. And I'm glad he's getting the attention, and it's nice that the points are going in for him. But, folks, this episode of Canes Cast kind of sums up what Jordan Staal's kind of been in his career. You kind of take it for granted what he does and what he brings to the ice night after night. We shouldn't, but we do. So it's great to see some light shining on him with how he's played and how he'll continue to play down the stretch.
Should we take some voicemails
here? I believe we should.
All right.
Hey, guys. Hope all is going well your way. It's your best friend for life, Mike. All right. If you like it, you can keep it. If you don't, send it right back. Given the way that these games against Florida and Nashville have gone lately, within the next 3 years, the NHL will realign the divisions and hopefully bring back our favorite Southeast Division and put Nashville, Carolina, and Florida, and some other teams, of course, back in the same division. Love to hear your thoughts on it. Talk to you soon.
Well, thank you for that, Mike.
Thank you.
I love the idea of the Hurricanes and the Nashville Predators being in the same division because I think I've stumped for that in the past. I think it's a great idea, even though Nashville is in the central time zone only by about an hour or so. I think it's a great idea. It's a great city. It's the perfect sort of road trip city for Hurricanes fans to see a road game in. Nice little rivalry between the two teams, maybe. Nashville isn't performing up to what I thought they might this season. I would love to see it, but I'm not sure it's going to happen within, I think you mentioned, what, 3 years or so? Not sure that's going to happen because, you know, technically the league is realigning next season. Of course, this season was the temporary realignment, but you're seeing some shuffling next season when Phoenix goes to the Central and Seattle comes into the Pacific. So I think they're probably going to stick with that alignment for at least 3 to 5 years. I would be in favor of moving towards more smaller divisions.
Yeah.
So when I say more, I mean just more in number and then smaller in size. So whether that's...
So like a Washington, Carolina, Florida, Tampa division.
Yeah, maybe it's 8 divisions of 4. You know, I know that's a lot of divisions, and but it'd be nice. Then you could have Carolina, Nashville, and Tampa, Florida.
Yeah,
that's a pretty good division.
The only problem with that, and I mean, I'd love to see it. I think it would be great. I think regional rivalries are the things that make sports phenomenal, and there's more of a regional rivalry between Carolina and Nashville than there is Carolina and New Jersey. You know, it just is. Carolina and the Rangers, Carolina and the Islanders. There's just more regional to that. We all understand that. But if you move Nashville out of the Central, you have to move somebody in there. And who are you going to put there? Detroit's not going back to the Central. Toronto is not going back to a different time zone after they were in the Western Conference for all those years. Columbus won't do it. So who do you move there? That becomes the problem. That if you move Nashville into a division with, say, Carolina, Tampa, Washington, Florida, and who else you want to throw in there, Columbus, you have to move in Detroit. You have to move somebody into the Central.
Yeah.
So that's where it becomes problematic. It's a great idea on paper. I know that Michael and I would sign up for it, but the team that's got to move into the Central time zone, not going to go for it.
Yeah, I would just be in favor of a more radical realignment, but that's a larger project, and then you might lose some. You might have some difficulties in the Northeast aligning some of those teams in smaller divisions, but you know, fine idea in theory.
Yeah.
Hey guys, Brian Fine. I think you're doing a great job. Can you comment a little bit on how different it is to broadcast when you're not actually sitting there watching, as opposed to when you're in the stadium? I think a lot of people don't understand the difference between watching it on TV and trying to do what you do so greatly when you're away. Because obviously when you're at home now, it's so much different. So if you comment a little bit, I'd appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Sure, Brian.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. The only thing I can tell you is it's. I don't want to go down this road of saying, oh, it's extremely difficult, but it is harder to call the game when you only see a third of the playing surface. That's one of the things why broadcasters enjoy being on site, so you can see the entire game. And in a game like hockey, where the action is constant and flowing and changes happen, you can see the bench and somebody coming off of the bench when you are at home. When I'm at home calling the games, you can see a player sneaking off the bench, or when a player goes and makes a change. You know, I don't have a little magical thing telling me everybody who's on the ice. You know, I'm kind of watching it on TV like everybody else, and sometimes the camera moves fast to catch up and with the action, and then you got to wait for it to settle down to get the number of the player who's on, because you think it's somebody else, and sometimes it's different. Sometimes the numbers scrunch up, and some a two jerseys, looks like a three.
Yeah, some jerseys are easier to read than others.
Some, yes, absolutely. And it is weird. Some jerseys I have found are easier to read on TV than they are in person. Some jerseys in person are way better than what you can see on TV. So those are some of the challenges right there. But overall, just seeing the whole ice, like if there's a long stretch pass, are they just sending the puck out of the zone, or is there somebody who's, you know, coming out of the bench, coming off the bench to make a play, or coming out of the penalty box to make a play? When the goaltender leaves for an empty net situation, I really don't know. Thankfully, we've got our producer in the truck, Jim, who I've already given a shout to. He'll holler in the ear. He's like, goalie's gone. So
Jim Balia?
Malia. Stop. Just stop.
Okay.
But those are the challenges. And you know, sometimes I can only tell you what I see in the picture. I've got a real good reference. I can use this. And if you watch around the league, none of the play-by-play guys are looking for sympathy here. We're not, and it's not an excuse. But you try to match up everybody. Like, I want to know the lines, because if I can pick up who the right winger is, well, then I know this should be the center and that should be the left winger when the puck goes to those positions. Same thing with the right and left defenseman. And, you know, sometimes the action happens fast, and like I said, everything's two-dimensional on TV, where when it happens in front of you, and I'm just basically saying it's so much better to be there live and call the game. I can tell the height difference between Dougie Hamilton, right-handed shot, and Brett Pesce, right-handed shot, if the puck gets to them real quick, because Dougie Hamilton is 6'6". He's a bigger guy along the boards. I've said this before. Teuvo Teravainen, when he's healthy, and Marty Natchez on a flat screen, if all I see is an 8, if I can't see the 6 or the 8 clearly, you know, you throw the dart, you hope you're right. But the Canes were playing Nashville. I want to find whoever designed the Nashville jerseys and decided to put a streak at the bottom of the numbers. Why? Why
guitar did you do strings.
That? Why?
Nashville, baby.
Why? For the entire game, you had Roman Josi playing with Dante Fabbro, Robbie Fabbri for the Detroit Red Wings. That would have been
that would have been
really weird. I could explain why I was way off. He was playing with Dante Fabbro. Fabbro throws the puck across the blue line. In the way that the camera was, I couldn't see who was at the opposite point, but it's been Josi and Fabbro the whole game. Well, it's Mattias Ekholm who one times it. So camera doesn't stay on him fast enough to get the number. Shot goes through. You're going to go, it's Josi. Well, it's Mattias Ekholm. And, of course, that puck gets deflected and goes through. So that's how it happens.
Yeah. Well, it's a...
I think I gave a long answer to that. I think... Did I answer it? You're listening to it.
Yeah. Okay.
It's challenging.
Yes, it's challenging. It's different, especially for you, a new play-by-play guy, to not be able to see the action live makes it more difficult.
Also, the weird thing is the pinballing back and forth. Because right when you get used to calling it off of a monitor, now you readjust to calling it live.
Yeah. So you're looking forward to that first half of April when there's eight games at home. You get to see 8 games in a row live.
And then
a long road trip.
And then you go on the road.
Pinball right back.
Exactly.
Let's go to another voicemail.
Hey, Mike and Michael. It's Nick from Ohio again. So just watched the boys beat the Predators 5-1. And... you know, watching the game, it had me wondering and thinking, you know, we look like an absolute complete team. But my question is do you believe that we are complete, or would we see any moves with the trade deadline coming here soon? Would the Canes bring anybody in? Because, I mean, top to bottom, the lineups are solid. I mean, even Troach is out for the night, and Morgan Geekie steps in and has 2 goals. It's the kind of depth that, you know, championship teams are built on, and to me it looks like we're a complete team. And I just want to get your guys' take on it, and if you believe that maybe we need another piece here or there, or are we set? Because to me, I believe we're set. Of course, you can always improve in other areas, but, you know, coming into the season, goalie was our biggest issue. And to me, so far this season, goalie has been our strongest point. So what do you guys think? Do you think we need any pieces, or are we good to go now? Thanks, guys. Appreciate the podcast. I can't wait to hear your feedback. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Thank you.
All right, thanks again to Nick, who graced the top of the show with his Stormbrew ad read.
Which you can as well.
Yeah, just give us a call, by the way, 919-500-7819. If you have a question, comment, or you want to shout out Stormbrew, that number again, 919-500-7819.
So 919-500-7819.
That's right. Nick, yeah, lots to digest in that one.
Well, I'll boil it down simple. If this team is healthy, everybody comes back. We've chronicled some of the injuries here already. But if you get back healthy, Vincent Trocheck, Teuvo Teravainen, Jake Gardner, Peter Mrazek, I don't know if you need to make a move. I really don't. I think you're set. I think that the Canes added their grit with their move for Cedric Paquette. Especially that's a playoff kind of player to bring that kind of jam that you need in a 7-game series, and I think we might see that in this 4-game series coming up with Columbus.
Yeah, if he needs to kill a guy, he will.
That's calm.
I mean, not literally, but
I'm about sitting this one out, champ.
Figuratively.
Break the huddle.
If you need somebody to kill somebody, you know who to call.
just going to leave that one right there and move along. But I'll say this and have you piggyback off of it.
Okay.
Murder for Hire over here.
Sorry, it went really dark.
Yeah, that took a turn.
It's the lack of sleep that's getting to me at this point.
As far as adding talent or making trades, I've always gone down this road, which is everything is open. And I think that what we have seen with the front office now and the makeup that it has with the Carolina Hurricanes, with Don Waddell and Darren York and Eric Tulsky, and of course Tom Dundon is the owner. If there's a player out there that they feel they can get who makes them better and it doesn't cost them things that they value, you know, if they don't have to overpay to get that player, they'll go make a move.
Yeah. It's whenever you have the opportunity to make your team better, you take it.
Yeah.
And as long as the price is right. And a lot goes into that. And the Hurricanes have some, I think, a very creative front office in terms of the way they approach certain deals. And so, you know, will the Hurricanes take a look at something? I would have to think they'll at least take a look at it. When you look at the moves they've made, they've cleared cap space to add some flexibility just in case there is something there. If there's a deal to be made, the Hurricanes are going to make it.
Yeah.
Do they need to make a move? Maybe not. But, you know, you can't just say, oh, we're good, we don't need to make a move. If someone calls you and is like, hey, you know, I got this player, think he might be a good fit, maybe you give us something like this and a trade happens, hey, why not?
Yeah.
But
you're always looking to make the roster better.
Oh, yeah, you have to. You have to. And the Hurricanes are in a situation where their roster is pretty good already and their depth is pretty good already. But then that also gives them some assets to maybe even improve their roster more. You have depth. You have some pieces. You have some assets that other teams might want. If you get something back in return that you covet, then yeah, maybe you make that move. So, you know, will they make a move? I'll say yes, maybe. But is it a necessity? No, I don't think it's a necessity by any means when you look at just how the lineup is structured right now. I think they're in a pretty good position. So thanks for your call, Nick. One more here, then we'll get out of here.
Hey, guys. Love what you're doing. Question for you. How do you take cross-checking out of the game, and how do you make it across the board? Because it seems like each official has their own idea of what cross-checking is, and it seems to be different depending on the teams that are playing. Love what you're doing. Take care, guys.
Thank you.
Well, short and sweet call there.
Take care, guy. That has been Tripp Tracy's number one issue this season.
I'm guessing that that caller, we don't
coming
know his
off
name,
of that, yeah.
But I'm guessing he's watched the broadcast and piggybacking on Tripp's thing. I think you would have to get rid of sticks, quite honestly. If you're going to get rid of cross-checking, you're going to have to get rid of sticks. Because as long as you have something in your hand that you can grip like that and shove somebody with, you're going to do it.
Don't disagree with that. But I think you have to make, again, I've talked about this with the NHL, with what they do with rules. They take rules that could be black and white and make them gray. And again, I don't want to go, this is the strike zone of Major League Baseball. Every umpire has a different one from the next guy. But to our unnamed caller, it's a really good call. Cross-checking is a hard call to enforce because I can cross-check Michael Smith but not extend my arms. I can give him just quick little shots.
And it happens all the time.
And it does happen all the time. But what I think is to take it where it's reckless out of the game.
Where you have that full extension.
And there's one thing to cross-check to move a guy, like, you know, somebody who's standing in front of the net and you're trying to
clear
move
some
out of
space.
The way. By the way, go watch any game from, like, the 80s or 90s. And that is Brick killed a guy. Like, it's you look at how they did this. I'm like, I don't know how any of these guys who played during that era.
Without helmets, too.
Can walk upright.
Right.
And I'm actually serious on that.
Yeah.
Other than, you know, the sticks were wood in the 80s, and now they're not.
Yeah.
And
athletes today are bigger and stronger,
yeah,
and faster. And
I think when you talk about how do you get it out of the game, it will never be completely gone.
unless you get rid of sticks, which you can't do because you don't have hockey.
You're working on what, 41 minutes of sleep? You are buzzing right
now. Just about 3 hours.
So the thing is, if it's a cross check to the head, if it's a cross check to hurt, and players know when they're cross checking a guy to hurt them, and the result is a player misses time or there's an infraction, that player is going to be suspended for a game, and it's not a $5,000 fine. It's a game check. Because the only way you want to take things out of this league, like headshots and cheap plays, $5,000 fines don't do anything. Fine the guys a game check. Now, I don't think the Players Association will ever go for it.
Not a chance.
But if they are serious about making the game safe for each other, that's the only way you're going to do it.
Yeah,
you have to sit a guy and you got to hit him in the wallet hard.
I think it would almost have to come from the Players Association itself saying, hey, we need to police this a little better. There are too many cross checks happening. Because otherwise, there's going to be, you know, if you hit him with a stiff fine like that, then there's just going to be so much, even probably more scrutiny over the officiating, because some guy's going to get hit with a fine over cross-check A, and cross-check B is not going to be, you know, penalized at all. So something like that, I think, would have to come from the PA saying, hey, you know, we need to really crack down on this. Too many of our guys are getting injured from cross-checks and whatnot. Unnamed caller, it's part of the game. It is a penalty, should be called a penalty when it happens. But it's one of those things that's going to be you're not going to be able to get rid of it as long as the guys are carrying sticks in their hand.
No, I'm. You can reduce it though.
Oh yeah,
I keep going back to, the only way that you're going to get guys to stop doing things is you make the penalty hurt. And I'm not talking about a 5-minute major. I'm talking about you're going to miss a game, and if you miss, if the league rules on this and put a board together. You know, I know that's what the player safety board is supposed to be, with George Parros who's on that, and I'm not taking shots at them. It's a hard job. It truly is. But you can put a better panel together with a referee, a former coach, a former GM, a former player, and you can have a vote. You can come to a consensus. Is this a 1-game, a 2-game, a 3-game suspension? And they technically sort of have that going on.
Yeah.
But you could really do that. And when you talk about the suspension, it is without pay. The games that you miss, you aren't getting paid. And that's that.
Yep.
Again, it won't 100% take it out because, as Michael said, there'll be the instinct, if you have a stick in your hands, that you're gonna check a guy with it. You're going to reach out with it.
Yeah, you're going to use it. I mean, it's the same way with holding in football. Like, I think lacrosse is a good example where
you watch. I like watch that, and I watch a guy run down the field and just gets hit for, you know, 50 yards. I'm like, this isn't a penalty?
Yeah. Apparently not.
I don't.
I guess, I think they do have penalties. I don't know. We're not lacrosse experts. We're wading into interesting waters.
We're getting out of the weeds there.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, you definitely want to see it called because it is in the rule book as a penalty. But just as everything else, just with all other penalties, interference, hooking, tripping, holding, there's going to be stuff that goes uncalled, and some of it's going to be more vicious than others. Maybe that's when you institute some sort of review for certain penalties. If a player does get hurt with some of the dangerous type of hits like that, maybe you have reviews in game where you can go back and look at things, kind of like what the NBA does with certain fouls. That's an idea maybe, but I think it's always, to some extent, going to be a part of the game, at least just from the standpoint of using your stick in that manner to kind of shove a guy around. Sometimes it's obviously more vicious than others, and that's the way it is.
So I don't think you can do 100%, but you can, I think, crack down on the severity of how bad it gets and the frequency of it as well.
All righty. That's another fine episode of Canes Cast.
Agree. Thanks to Linda Cohn for joining us.
She was amazing. I'd love to have her back.
We will. In 6 months, let's have her back when the season starts up again.
As
she predicted, the Canes win the Stanley Cup.
Yeah. She's
on the broadcast when that happens. She's on the podcast.
We'll bring her back.
Contenders.
Great time talking with her. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode. We'll come back to you next Wednesday with I think it's going to have to be one of those I'll be on the road, you'll be here episodes.
It'll be an abbreviated deal.
We'll have some fun with it.
Sure we will. Absolutely we will. So that'll do it. For the Web's Michael Smith.
And TV's Mike Maniscalco.
We'll talk to you next week.
Moi moi.
Thank you.
Thank you all for listening to this podcast.